from James chapter 1. So as you turn into your Bibles, or you can follow along on the screen, I want to give you some background information on James. James is a compact, hard-hitting letter about embodying the faith we profess. It's a powerful yet practical how-to manual on Christian living. Some have called James the Proverbs of the New Testament. Others have referred to it as an inspired commentary on Christ's great Sermon on the Mount. Most Bible commentaries believe the half-brother of Jesus, which his name was James, wrote the book of James. And he wrote James to a Jewish Christian who lived outside the land of Palestine. Hopefully you have arrived at James chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 8 this morning. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. A little bit of reference in the word scattered in the passage. It means scattered seed. The 12 tribes have been scattered mostly due to persecution. Now we're going to pick up in verse 2, and your heading may say trials and temptations. Verse 2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Verse 6 says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for this opportunity to deliver your word this morning. I pray that I would be a vessel that you can flow through. Lord, I pray that I would only say and communicate what you want me to communicate, Lord. I stand upon the confidence of your word and your Holy Spirit, the only things that can truly cause life change. I thank you, God, for how you're going to use these words, God. In Jesus' name, amen. And 2017 has come and gone. I don't really feel old, but I'm edging, getting closer and closer to 40. I turned 36 this year, and I'm on the downhill slide. You know, I'm slowly getting closer to 36, to 40. And I realized that, you know what? What they said is true. It seems like the years just keep on going faster and faster. It seemed like when I was a kid, the years would drag out, but they just keep on going quicker and quicker. And in 2017, I was reflecting this week, because it's the first of the year, and you usually reflect, and I was reflecting on some of my goals, and I had the goal to lose 20 pounds. Now, I don't know what happened, but it just didn't happen this year. Also, I had this goal. I even think I preached about it one of the first times I preached at the church, and it was to run a 5K, and I tell you, I still haven't ran that 5K. Now, most of you are like me. You look back at your life and you see things. You see things that maybe you should have been, or where you should have been, or what should have happened, and it hasn't happened yet. And in 2018, it's a chance to have a fresh start. In 2018, if I can stop going through the drive-thru at McDonald's on Free Fry Friday and eating double cheeseburgers, maybe I can lose that 20 pounds. Or if I can get off the couch and run my first mile, maybe I can increase to 3.1 miles and hit a 5K this year. See, we've all been there. The moment when we reflect back and realize that we aren't quite where we thought we should be or want to be. We've noticed that there have been setbacks. Sometimes these setbacks are our faults. Sometimes these setbacks happen to us just because. We don't really know why. There has to be the point when we look at our lives and we say, aha, I'm going to change. Aha, today I'm going to have that aha moment. You've been there all of a sudden when something clicks in your mind, in your heart, in your emotions, in your spirit person, and you say, aha, I finally understand what God was doing in that situation. Aha, I finally understand why I had to go through that test. It was so I can have a testimony. Aha, that crisis that happened in my life, now I can help somebody else that's experiencing the same crisis. See, let's look at the first chapter of James for those aha moments that can help us in 2018. I want to challenge you today, not just to experience God's word today, but literally experience God's word every day of 2018 in your life. Have those aha moments, not just in James 1, but your aha moments in your personal study of the word. Let's begin. Aha moment number one. Consider it pure joy in the face of trials. If you are breathing, I think everybody in the room is breathing. Let's all take a deep breath to make sure. Inhale. Exhale. All right. If you are breathing, you are going to be facing a trial at some time or another. You're going to be facing a trial. James 1:2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. As the old saying goes, when life hands you lemons, make lemonade. I want to change that this morning. When life hands you lemons, let God make lemonade. Has life ever sent you some lemons? We all face those times. It seems like nothing can go right. We are facing a mountain that we can't climb. We are in a hole and we're trying to dig ourselves out or literally try to claw ourselves out and we can't do it. But in those moments, we get the opportunity. Let me say that again. In those moments, we get the opportunity to consider it pure joy. Or we can consider it fake joy. In the midst of attitude, in the midst of your trials, attitude is critical. Your outlook will determine your outcome. In those moments, you cannot fake it till you make it. You must have the Holy Spirit's activity in your life. You must have the Word of God planted in your soul so that you will be encouraged and know that God is for you and not against you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. If you fake it, people will know. We all know fake people. Right? We all know those fake people that are just going through life faking it. However, joy is what truly people are looking for. They want to see that whenever you're facing a trial, that joy is overflowing in your life. They are watching. They are watching you. Consider it pure joy. James admonishes us to rejoice when trials come. Not for them, but because of what God is going to do through them. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despaired, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. 2 Corinthians 12, 10 says, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Aha moment number one is consider it pure joy in the face of trials. Aha moment number two. It's not for the weak. It's not for the weak in spirit this morning. It's for the strong. Are y'all ready for aha moment number two? Mature in the midst of trials. Mature in the midst of trials. James 1, 3 through 4 says, says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Everybody say perseverance. Perseverance. All right. Just want to make sure I'm saying it right. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, I started shaving when I was in the seventh grade. It happened at youth convention, and whenever I would go to youth convention was right around the time of Thanksgiving, and I would go there, and I would always be looking for the ladies, and I thought, if I could shave, that's right, I was looking for the ladies, all right, I know, I should have been going for God, but I was looking for the ladies, and if I would go there, I might find the woman of my dreams. So in seventh grade, I decided it was time to shave, okay? And my room counselor for the couple of days that we were at youth convention was my senior pastor. And he said, you know what, John, I've sort of noticed some stubble on your face. Would you like to borrow my shaver? And I said, sure, of course. Of course I want to borrow your shaver. So if I would have known then what I know now, maybe I wouldn't have borrowed a shaver. I don't know. But can I tell you that in the seventh grade, I was not ready for the relationship of my dreams. I was not ready for to have a wife. I was not ready for three kids. And can I tell you this morning, just because you have a mustache does not make you mature. Just because you have a mustache doesn't make you mature. See, you may be sitting in, you may be coming to church every week, you may sit in one of our lovely chairs, but can I tell you today, that does not make you mature. No more than going to McDonald's makes you a cheeseburger. It just doesn't make you mature. See, we mature when we face trials. We mature when we persevere through things. I like what A.W. Tozer says. A true disciple does not consider Christianity a part-time commitment. He's become a Christian in all parts of his life. He has reached a point where there is no turning back. See, God doesn't want part of your life. He wants the whole package today. He wants every part of your life. Let's not hold anything back. So what does maturity look like? What does maturity look like? Maturity happens when we persevere through trials. Some call these trials the storms of life. Here are five benefits that come from weathering the storms of life. Number one, storms strengthen your faith. When you face a God-permitted storm, it reveals two things: the strength or the weakness of your faith. 2 Chronicles 32, in the latter part of 31, says, King Hezekiah, God left him to test him and to know everything that was in his heart. I like what James 1:3 says in the Message. Under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows your true colors. Storms reveals what's really important. We are prone to hold so tightly to the things of this world. Storms reveal what is really important to us. Acts 27 tells of a ferocious storm at sea that Paul experiences en route to Rome. In Acts 27, in order to lighten the ship, the crew first threw the cargo overboard in verse 18, then the ship tackle in verse 19, then the lifeboat in verse 32, then their food in verse 38, and finally the ship's anchor in verse 40. See, it's so easy to get distracted and weighed down by the things of this world. A storm reminds us what is valuable and eternal. And whether your handle on the things are tight, are your handle on things tight, or are they loose? Number three, storms revealed what and who you really love. This is found in the story of Abraham's willingness to sacrifice Isaac. Not only reveals his faith, but his supreme love for God. We too are called to love God above everything and everyone else. Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Number four, storms cause you to look beyond this world to the next world. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So we fix our eyes on what is seen, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Number five, storms equip you to serve Him more effectively. The Puritan Thomas Manton observed that, while all things are quiet and comfortable, we live by a sense or feelings rather than by faith. But the worth of a soldier is never known in times of peace. A worth of a soldier is never known in times of peace. Paul told us in Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2:3, "Join with me in suffering like a good soldier for Christ Jesus." See, God desires to develop maturity in our lives through our trials. God desires to develop maturity in our lives through our trials. Aha moment number one in James 1, consider it pure joy in the face of trials. Aha moment number two, mature in the midst of trials. Aha moment number three comes from James 1:5. It says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Aha moment number three is this: ask God for wisdom. If there has ever been a time, it is now that you need to ask God for wisdom. So you may be facing a trial, you may be facing an ordeal in your life. Can I challenge you today to ask God for wisdom? Perhaps this morning you feel like your back is against the wall. I want you to know that God is ready to give you wisdom in that situation. He wants to give you wisdom from heaven. James 3:17 says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." Instead of trying to figure it out yourself, have an aha moment and ask God for wisdom, for insight on what you're facing. After all, He gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Warren Wiersbe writes, "Why do we need wisdom when we are going through trials? Why not ask for strength or grace or even deliverance? For this reason, we need wisdom so we will not waste opportunities God is giving us to mature." Ephesians 4:14 states, "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunningness and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming." See, He desires to give us good gifts as His children. We must be willing to ask for them. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount states it like this in Matthew 7:7-11. "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him. Ask God for wisdom. Wisdom is to know what's right in choosing to do it. Listen to what God says and stay on God's path. This will in turn help us to make right choices, not wrong choices. See, be a wise person. A wise person is in God's word. Let me say that again. A wise person is in God's words. See, you can read all the books that you want to read today. That's how you can read whatever self-help, whatever how-to, fiction, non-fiction book you want to read today. But there's only one book that can read you, and that's the Word of God. That's the Word of God. See, Joshua 1:8 says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." See, many books inform you, but God's word transforms you. Many books inform you, but God's word transforms you. If you don't have the discipline of God's word, I want to challenge you to make it a discipline in your life this 2018. Make it a discipline. And I've heard Pastor Steve said this, sometimes discipline is not fun at the time, but it becomes delight. Becomes delight. As you continue to get up and read God's word and do what it says, it becomes a delight in your life. A good place to start if you've never started reading God's word is Proverbs. There's a proverb of a day. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. That's a good place to start if you'd like just to start. A wise person is in God's word. A wise person thinks about what they are thinking about. Don't just accept everything coming into your mind. You have to think about what you're thinking about. They have the whatever filter on. That's found in Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about what you're thinking about. Finally, a wise person has confidence in what God says about them and rebukes the lies of the enemy and rebukes those lies that other people have told them that are false. Numbers 23:19 says, "God is not a human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill?" Let's have an aha moment and ask God for wisdom. However, there is a stipulation in asking. There's a loophole in asking for God's wisdom. It's found in the latter part of the text in verse 6 through 8. It says, "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown, tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is a double-minded and unstable in all they do." Wisdom means to have the spiritual capacity to see and evaluate life and behavior from God's perspective. Aha moment number one in James 1 is consider it pure joy in the face of trials. Aha moment number two, mature in the midst of trials. Aha moment number three, ask God for wisdom. In closing, let me ask you just a few questions. One, are you facing a trial right now? Are you facing a trial? Are you at a loss of what to do? Do you feel like your back is against a wall? Then stand upon God's word. Reach out for him. Have an aha moment this morning. Let him take control of the situation. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. You could bow your heads. Pastor Steve is now going to come and pray.
As we respond to God's word this first Sunday of 2018, I thank Pastor John for his message to our hearts this morning. But perhaps you're here today and you've never taken that first step to give your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. What better time than right now? As you, at the outset of this year, perhaps you're here and you're not walking as close to the Lord as you know that you should be. And that's not because of him, that's because of you. I want to issue you a challenge to come back to him. I never close a Sunday service. I made that vow many years ago without giving people the opportunity to receive Christ. In the last weeks, there's been a number of people that they've indicated that to us. They've communicated that to us. So we're going to pray a very simple prayer. It's a good one for all of us to pray. Let it take you back to the time and the place when you gave your heart to the Lord. But perhaps for you today, it's the first time to pray a simple prayer to receive Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, I hear and now repent and believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that you died for me as my substitute and rose from the dead. Lord Jesus, thank you for taking my place, paying my sin debt in full. I ask for your forgiveness. I now receive you into my heart as my Savior and Lord. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am a new creation in Christ. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you pray.